Hello, hello, hello. How'd you do?
DJ Yoda.
But from the beginning, it is a tale told by an idiot.
Now, tonight, we're going to take a look at how to irritate people.
Hello and welcome to the very first Sega Nerds Nerdcast. I'm Chris, the editor of Sega Nerds, and with me I have Graham, the associate editor.
Hello.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Sega Nerdcast real quick. The Nerdcast is going to be aired each Monday, and we're going to have news, Sega news from throughout the week. We'll also have interviews with people within the Sega community, and that could either be editors of different fan sites, actually people within the Sega company, like developers and stuff like that. So just really interesting interviews with people that should be pretty damn cool. We'll also have contests and much, much more. And I'll also tell you a little bit about the main site, Sega Nerds. We're a Sega blog, but we have we write Sega news. We review their games. We interview Sega people. And we just pretty much try to write and host anything that we think is going to be of interest of just Sega nerds out there. So, you know, if we're doing a good job, please let us know. We're just, and if there's anything else you think that you want to, that you'd like Sega nerds to do, please let us know, because we're always open to new ideas, definitely. And Graham, I also want you to tell our listeners about the site we used to run. It wasn't, it was more specific to a Sega console. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It was the Dreamcaster's Realm. And obviously, it was all about the Dreamcast. It wasn't that great a site, although I loved it.
it pretty much sucked, okay? Just admit it. But, Graham, you had this strange fascination with it, though. But tell them why you liked it.
I, to tell you the truth, I have no idea, but I just love it. I'm just really sad that it's not working anymore.
Yeah, okay. Basically, we ran DreamcastersRealm.com. And when did we start that up? Back in, like, 2001, maybe?
A
long time ago, and it started off
2002.
Something okay. Well, it started off as we hosted it on tripod.com, and it was probably one of the worst laid out websites I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, the tripod one's still up there, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, the tripod one is still up. I don't remember the address though. But in the show notes, in the show notes, check the show notes on the main site, and I'll put a link in there. No, okay, so we had the tripod one for a while, and we were just kind of learning how to write and all that kind of stuff. And then we went to, and actually we finally got our own host, and we did that thing for a little bit. And, you know, we actually met a little bit of success with that, don't you think?
I think we did.
People seem to like it, but I mean, it's still, the layout still sucked. The writing was decent, I think. But I went away for a little bit, and Dreamcaster's Realm went down, and it was actually our host's fault. Our host lost everything. That's what happened. And at that time, I had been wanting... I didn't like where we were stuck with just one console with Dreamcaster's Realm. And I thought people were losing interest in the Dreamcast at a really fast rate. You know, all the new... The last generation, the Xbox, the PS2, everything like that. That was what everyone was wanting to read about. And we couldn't really talk about that with Dreamcaster's Realm. So I thought that if we went to a full... Sega themed site, that we could still talk about, you know, all the new systems coming out, but it's still going to be, you know, narrowed down for Sega. So that's where Sega Nerds came to be. And, you know, we're just going to keep growing bigger and bigger. So just keep watching. And also, I think we should tell our listeners a little bit about us too, Graham. A lot of people may not know, or they may have found out just from listening to you, but where are you from?
I'm from England.
That's right. And although I'm American, I'm in the U.S. Air Force. So I'm actually living in Guam right now, on a tiny island between, I guess, Australia and Japan. So a lot of interesting things out here. I'm in the Air Force. I'm actually a military journalist or public affairs specialist. So I've been writing for a long time, and a lot of times I don't like doing that just because the military bores me. I like to write about things that, you know, I like to write about. So that's why I'm writing about video games. That's something of interest to me. And Graham, I hear that you're a banker. Is that right? You work in at a bank?
That's right. Okay. Well, it's sort of a bit like a bank, but you might have heard about it. It was one of the world's biggest robberies happened there.
And you were actually a part of that, right? You played some kind of role in that?
Well, yeah.
How much money did you get out of that?
Nothing.
You haven't seen that yet, right?
Yeah, really, no.
Yeah. No, but tell us what happened, though. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, basically, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the Securitas robbery in England in Kent, which happened, was it last year? Yeah, it was last year. It was around this time, I think, last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that might not be good. They're playing their annual robbery right now.
I think it's good. I think it's a good tribute to the to the event.
So, okay, tell us how they actually got in. What was their plan?
They managed to, they dressed up in police uniform or something and managed to get our manager on his way home.
Ooh.
And basically they pulled him over. He thought it was the police and they just tied him up and they took him back to work and the guys let him in.
You're not going home, buddy. You're going back to work.
basically they just tricked the guys inside to let open up for the manager and managed to get in and get away with £54 million.
£54 million. Nice. That's like that's probably like $100 million or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's about that. Yeah.
Hmm. Damn, that's crazy.
I know, God.
So did they fire the manager? You're supposed to like not, you're supposed to go down, right? You're supposed to like not take them back and you're supposed to die before you let them take all that money. Is that right? Isn't there some kind of like code of ethics in the banking community that tells you that you're not supposed to?
The interesting thing is I haven't seen the manager since.
So. I think they might have killed him or something. Maybe he works down at like the local like corner store now or something.
Well, I haven't seen him, but
okay. Well, that's pretty damn funny. Okay. How'd your week go though?
How'd my week go? Not so great because I broke my hand last weekend and.
Oh shit!
I basically haven't been able to work.
So you haven't been working at your bank?
Well, I've been at work, but I couldn't work properly. It's a bit.
So what have you been doing?
Well, I was trying to work at work, but it didn't.
It's not going so well, right?
It's not. No, not really.
Okay.
My
boss
isn't too happy.
I bet. If you don't know, if you haven't noticed, I've actually been away from Sega Nerds for the past maybe 3 weeks now. I went on a training trip or a training thing. I went back to Maryland for the Air Force, and I was there for a couple weeks, and then I actually was able to fly back home and spend about, you know, a few days with my family. And so me and my brother, we got sloppy drunk for a few nights. And it's funny. We actually went out with my dad, and he has a deer lease where he goes out in the country and where he goes and shoots animals and hunts Sasquatch. And he took a bunch of his guns, and it was pretty damn funny because we were able to, shoot.
What kind of guns?
Well, he had a couple rifles. And he had, you know, the Dirty Harry gun, you know, that big ass like handgun. Have you seen the movie Dirty Harry?
Yeah,
he had that gun. It was amazing. It was awesome.
Wow.
And so we started off with like a small like .22 rifle. And if you've never shot one before, it really feels like a BB gun. I mean, there's not a lot of recoil on it. So we went to that rifle. Okay, then we went to the handgun. And then he brought out this huge ass like a elephant gun or something. I mean, it was this huge rifle. It had scope on it and everything. And I shot it. The first time I shot it, it literally almost knocked me on my ass. I have a huge bruise on my shoulder from it still. And I shot it. It was like a week ago. It was terrible. So, okay. But it was fun stuff. Enough about that though. Let's talk about some of the Sega news that's been happening throughout the week. If you didn't know, Sega has actually released Virtua Fighter 5 and Sonic and the Secret Rings this past week. And Virtua Fighter 5 on the PS3 has really got a lot of great scores so far. Right now, it has an 88 Metacritic score, which is, if you don't know Metacritic, basically it takes a bunch of scores from each of the gaming sites and, you know, averages them all together. So right now it has an 88 score, which is really great. And actually GameSpy, they gave it a 100, if you can believe that. And GameSpy, here's what they said. They said, for gamers who've mocked their PS3 owning friends, it's time to suck up to them and hang out at their crib for this one. One taste of this, and it's going to feel like a long, long wait for the summertime release on the Xbox 360. So what do you think about that?
I can understand why they would give it a high score, but 100 is...
100 is pretty high.
Any game could be 100.
I agree. I don't think any game... I don't think I've played ever game or any game that's ever... that I can say that has no, you know, any kind of problems with it. But... I know that a lot of people do like the Virtua Fighter series. I'm not one of them. What do you think? Do you like it?
I like the first few, yeah. But I've never really got to play on number four or anything.
Okay. I mean, I'm more of a...
I enjoy them, but I wouldn't say they're amazing.
Yeah, I'm more of a Soul Calibur kind of guy. But I know a lot of people do like it. And, you know, I'm glad that... I guess if there's one franchise, though, that Sega's had that hasn't fallen down, like, quality-wise... I would have to say it's probably Virtua Fighter. I mean, if you look, Virtua Fighter's that series has always gotten really good scores, and you know, you can't say the same for Sonic.
I would admit though that Virtua Fighter 3 on the Dreamcast was a bit of a miss.
Oh yeah, what was it? Virtua Fighter 3 TB or something like that?
Yeah, it wasn't as good as the first two on the Saturn. It fell down quite badly there, I thought.
Did you know that there's also Virtua Fighter on the Sega Genesis?
Yeah, I own that.
Okay, yeah. I never knew that until I started playing the Sega Genesis Collection on the PSP. And it was terrible, but it was just kind of cool. I didn't know that they did that. So
you know they had the Game Gear version as well.
Oh, no, they didn't. Are you serious?
I've got it.
Is it awful?
I really enjoy it. It's called Virtua Fighter Animation. Obviously it's going to be 2D because it's a Game Gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. Like, the camera zooms out and stuff.
Really?
A bit like Virtua Fighter. It's got a little storyline that you progress through.
You unlock
characters as you progress. I enjoyed it, but maybe not Virtua enough for some people.
Not Virtua enough, there you go. The other game that Sega released this week was Sonic and the Secret Rings on the Nintendo Wii. And something that really pissed me off that Sega did was it was supposed to release on Wednesday of last week. But apparently none of the stores got it in on Wednesday. They were going to get it on Thursday. And the thing that sucked for me was I actually flew out Thursday morning. And it usually takes about a week later for the games to get over here to Guam. So that was kind of my last chance at picking up Sonic and the Secret Rings before next week. And I literally went to so many different stores. I can think of like four or five different stores on Wednesday that I went to trying to find it. And none of them had it. So I was really pissed off. But the good thing, though, is that it seems like it's a pretty damn good game. Right now, it actually has a 74 Metacritic score. And, you know, it seems like, you know, Sega's getting it, you know, getting the series back on the right track with this. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. But a couple of the reviews have been a bit confusing. They say how good it is, and they say that it's the best 3D Sonic game yet. Yet they give it like a 6. And they gave Sonic Heroes like a 7 or an 8, which
makes
really?
Sense. Oh, really? I think
it was IGN. IGN gave it like a 6.
I did see that IGN gave it like a
high score.
Yeah, okay, here's what IGN said about it. Sonic and the Secret Rings offers moments of greatness where I find myself caught up in the intensity of the experience and, oppositely, moments where I want to pull my hair out or throw the Wii remote down because of imprecise control or insulting design choice. And you know what's funny about that, though? I was actually talking to Nathan, one of the other writers on Sega Nerds, about that. And he pretty much said the same thing about that. He said, sometimes the game is really, really good, but the level design hinders. And this is what's strange, though, is that this is kind of what I've seen from some of the Sonic 3D games, is that the level design hinders the playability, that there's so many things... in the level design that hinder you from actually, you know, going fast and, you know, having fun.
Okay.
So he said that, you know, that was one thing. And one of the things that was kind of worried me is the control of the Wii. One thing I hate, it seems like the input from the Wii remote isn't very good sometimes. And so it'll stop controlling your character for a few moments until you get it pointed right back directly at the screen. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I haven't played it yet. Yeah, it hasn't come out here yet.
You shouldn't have that problem with Sonic, though, because you're not actually pointing the remote at the screen, are you?
You have it on the side. I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah. But, you know, if I'm going to have to wait till next week to get my hands on it. So
I've got to wait a little while as well, because obviously we get all the games a lot later over here.
When is it going to come out over there?
I think it's March the 3rd.
Oh, really?
I have to double check that. That's what they said a few weeks ago. I don't know if they delayed it or not. Didn't they delay the American one as well?
Okay.
A few days.
Okay. Well, the good thing though about it is, I mean, it's obviously the best next generation Sonic game yet. I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog on the Xbox 360 and the PS3 was, you know, it pretty much got raped on the right now. I mean, just for shits and giggles, it right now has a 45 Metacritic score, and you know, it's pretty much universally one of the worst received Sega games or Sonic games that, you know, I can remember. And Kakizo.com, they interviewed the Sonic team producer Yojiro Ogawa, and in the interview they asked him what he thought about the quality of Sonic the Hedgehog, and this is what he said about Sonic the Hedgehog and making it. He said, "The reason why we probably ended up with what we see today involves a lot of reasons. One is that we did want to launch the title around Christmas, and we had the PS3 launch coming up. But we had to develop for Microsoft's Xbox 360 at the same time, and the team had an awful lot of pressure on them. It was very hard for the team to try and see how we were going to come out with both versions together with just one team. It was a big challenge." What do you think about that?
Well, obviously it's not very good for Microsoft or Sega, really. it sounds like Microsoft is trying to put...
Oh, you just kind of went out there for a second. I don't know. I never really got to play the game too much, but I did play the demo that came out, and the biggest complaints for Sonic the Hedgehog were the twitchy controls and the bad camera angle. And I didn't think that they were that bad. I knew that the controls were very sensitive, but I kind of got used to them after playing it for a little bit. I think what the really great thing about what's happened between Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic and the Secret Rings is that it seems that when Sega made Sonic and the Secret Rings, they kind of addressed some of the problems that were in Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
With the bad camera angle and the bad controls, don't you think?
And the annoying extra characters.
Oh, God, yeah. The extra characters are pretty bad. I'm glad that only control Sonic.
Yeah. Have you actually played the version of the 360 game?
I'm sorry? No. I just played the demo. I haven't got it yet, though.
Oh, okay.
Have you played it?
I managed to get... I did play it for a bit, and I did the first level, and there's a bit when you become Tails.
Right.
You know how in like Sonic Adventure, Tails is just like Sonic and runs really fast. And
exactly. I mean, pretty much every Sonic.
It's different. In this one, he's not. He's a lot slower.
Well, that sucks.
And it's actually really... It's infuriating.
But he can still fly, though, right?
Yeah, it's just still... It's not that good, though.
Wait. One thing that I always wondered... Okay, Tails can fly, right?
Yeah.
So why on Sonic Adventure, why did he fly a plane? Did you ever wonder that? Don't you remember that? How he used to fly the little propeller plane, and Sonic would stand on and stuff. But why wouldn't he just fly? And then, I mean, he could even carry Sonic though. And like
when he's got the plane, he can shoot as well. That's the only thing I can think of.
Why wouldn't he just carry a gun?
Yeah, I think you're thinking too much into
it. Well, hey, you know what? Fuck it.
He had a plane in Sonic 2 on the Mega Drive as well.
He what? Did he really? Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did, didn't he?
It's yeah, because when you sort of fly along on top of the plane and then jump onto the egg ship or whatever it was.
That still doesn't make sense because he can pick you up and carry you and fly you around. I don't know.
I think I've got maybe you can't fly that high. On all the flying levels, you're like up in the clouds and stuff. So
that's true. But
that's well.
Uh, Okay.
That's something for Sega to think about, yeah?
Yeah. All right, we'll see. We'll see what Sega can do about that. No more fucking planes for Tails, Sega. I'll say that right now. And okay, I want to talk about the ATEI show, or I want you to talk to us about that. That happened a few weeks ago, right?
It's more like over a month ago now.
Was it really? Well, yeah. Okay. Wait. Well, let me say this. It happened a month ago, but you just started actually writing articles about it a couple weeks ago. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bastard. So tell us what. What's the ATEI show?
It's not like how E3 and the Tokyo Game Show are all about computer games.
Right.
The ATEI show is like an entertainment industry show in general. So you've got like gambling machines and things like that. Not like little like the claw grabbing games we pick up. Like,
right. Okay. I see.
The claws. So it's like all the different sort of entertainment.
But basically, pretty much anything that could go inside of an arcade, right?
Yeah, or a casino or something like
okay,
that.
Okay. Okay. I see.
And they have quiz machines and stuff like that. But Sega had a very big stand there, the biggest one they've ever had there. Cause the show's been going for a few years now.
And that was Sega's biggest, showing?
Yeah, it's actually the biggest stand outside of Japan, apparently.
Really? So wow.
Yeah, it's big. Apparently, like, it's meant to be bigger than the E3 ones, but it wasn't. I'm not sure if that's actually true. That's what I heard. But that's what they say, you know.
No, that's cool. What were some of the games that Sega had there? They're all arcade games, right?
Yeah, they're all arcade. Yeah, they didn't have any console games on the show because it's meant to be everything that you get in an arcade or whatever. They wouldn't have any of the consoles up there. But they had shown for like Virtual Tennis 3, House of the Dead 4, Too Spicy.
Too Spicy. And they had what was it? The Love Berry, right?
Oh, Love and Berry.
Yeah, Love and Berry. What did you think? Okay, tell us a little bit about Love and Berry. It's basically a game geared for girls, right?
That's what I'm saying, that. But I loved it.
You liked it?
I really enjoyed it.
Oh my god, what was
it
about?
It's such a quirky game. It's gonna sound so gay.
Tell us. Okay, first off, you liked the game. Now tell us about.
I enjoyed the game.
Okay, tell us what you do in the game.
In the game, you basically It's a card collecting kind of game.
Okay, not gay yet. Not gay yet. All right.
when you first start, you put in your money, and a card pops out the bottom.
Okay.
And the card helps you progress in the game, and you get.
Is it like a physical card, like a real card?
The whole idea of the game is you've basically got to dress up the. Yeah, it's a card that actually pops out of the machine.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
You actually grab it and take it out.
Okay.
And so you can basically collect the cards. There's like over 50 different cards to collect or something. Hmm.
Okay.
A bit like Pokemon, you collect them.
Okay, still not gay. Okay. Now keep going. Okay, you're getting into the meat of the game. So now what do you do?
Okay. The basic idea of the game is that you either pick a girl, Love or Berry, and the idea is you're meant to dress them up.
Okay, now we're getting into the gay area.
And you're meant to send them dancing.
So basically, you like the game, and you have to pick a girl, dress her up, and take her out dancing.
That's right.
And okay. How can that be fun?
It's hard to explain, but it is. Like they've got these crazy little songs. You're meant to tap. Basically, when the dance comes on, you've got to tap a button to the dance.
Is it kind of like Parappa the Rapper? How you have to it's like timing based. Like you have to at one point you have to press a certain button.
They've actually only got one button you can press. It's for little girls, really. This game, but
apparently it's not for little girls because you liked it. Oh wait, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so what were some of the other Sega games there?
Some of the other Sega games.
Yeah.
Some of the less homosexual ones.
Yeah.
Like I said, it had Virtual Tennis 3 up there.
Right.
They had House of the Dead 4. Uh-huh. Too Spicy, which is one of their big new games that's coming out.
What is that? I can't remember.
Oh, it's a light gun game.
Okay.
But it's completely different to like House of the Dead and stuff. Basically, in the game, you see yourself in a third-person view.
Okay.
And it's a one-on-one against another person. It can be against the computer or...
Oh, okay. So
go against another human person.
All right.
And...
You just try to shoot each other.
Yeah, it's... basically, you sort of stand on either side of a room, and you've got like a balcony you run along. It depends on the level design, but like you got like a balcony you run across and you hide behind objects and stuff, and you can control your character movement left or right. You can dive behind objects, and the objects can explode or move and stuff like that. And it's just a really intense, really fun game.
So did you like it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's definitely one of the better games there.
Okay.
You said.
And so what else do you think they had there that was worth mentioning?
Well, they had two different types of House of Dead 4 out there. They had a basic sort of typical one you get in the arcades, which is like just the screen and the guns.
Right.
They also had a little theater one, in which you actually sit down, and they've got two screens inside this little theater, and the seats rotate to the screen.
Oh, really?
So when like zombies would come at one side of you, the whole seat would like sort of twist to one side.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
You have to take on the zombies that way.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I didn't actually get a go on that one, but like, I saw people playing on it. The queue is way too big for it. It's insane.
But did it show how much the games are actually going to cost? Because pretty much I've stopped playing arcade games because it's just ridiculous how much money they cost nowadays. I don't think I should pay a dollar to play an arcade game for like 2 or 3 minutes. But I mean, did they have that at all? Did it show it like on the arcade stand at all, or did they say it how much?
No,
the games cost?
They were. Because they were for an event, they actually just had they're called free play machines. So you literally just pressed a button. Most of them didn't have coin slots.
Oh, I see.
So it's quite cool going to an arcade and like not playing anything.
Right.
Quite good.
Okay. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to mention another. Top
okay.
Game
yeah. Okay.
There.
Tell me.
Yeah, it's the Outrun 2 cabinet, which
yeah,
is.
I know you love Outrun.
Oh, it's so good. Outrun 2 is such a good game.
Okay.
I think it should have done better than it has done. But basically, they've got like a huge, it's like a huge cabinet with four different cars, like the backs of cars sticking out, and you can actually have two people in each car, and the steering changes between each person, so it adds a bit more fun to the game if you've got someone else who wants to play with you.
Oh, really?
So you can all race against each other and stuff. It's really, really fast, really intense. It's got different levels to the Outrun 2 you got on the Xbox and stuff.
How are the graphics?
Oh, the graphics are really good. Well,
do you still have that annoying girl that rides by you?
She
blonde.
She wasn't in the arcade version that I played, but I was actually playing with someone else. So.
Oh, okay.
But if you've played the Xbox or PlayStation 2 version, you'll pretty much know what the graphics look like and stuff. And
it's
pretty much similar game, but. It's new levels and stuff. It's so much fun in the arcade. I'm not sure how good it would be if it came onto the consoles, but arcade-wise, it was a top game.
That's pretty awesome. Okay, so overall, how would you rate the Sega showing?
Oh, the Sega showing was absolutely phenomenal. To be honest, it blew all competition out of the water.
Really?
The all competition around it was pathetic. when you went upstairs into like the sort of video game section. You saw just a huge crowd all around the Sega area. Everywhere else was like two or three people. It was pretty abysmal for the other like companies there.
What other companies were there?
There weren't that many video game companies there. They had Konami and Namco Bandai. They're the two main ones out there.
Okay.
And Taito.
Yeah.
I think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Taito. They were also there. Taito only seemed to have one game up show.
Is that even worth coming to an event if you have one game? Yeah. I mean, why would you even make the trip? You're bringing more, more people than you have games. I don't know about that.
When was the last time Taito actually made a game?
I know it was like back, like I guess like on the old like Commodore, like way back in the mid 80s or something. I don't know. What games did they have though? Not just Taito, but all the rest of them.
Namco. Had up Mario Kart Grand Prix 2 arcade.
Okay.
You know that?
Yeah. And I always found that weird because it's developed by Namco, not Nintendo. So I thought that was strange.
Yeah, I thought when I first saw it, I was like, "Whoa, what the hell is that doing there?" But I played it for a little bit. Wasn't that great, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think Mario Kart goes that well into arcades, personally. It's more of a sit in your living room with your friends so you can actually sort of riff on each other, like,
right.
Go around the corner, you can shoot them. But
when
you're in an arcade with, like, complete strangers, it's a bit...
Do you feel kind of bad, like, shooting them? Like, you don't want to do it? If you have, like, the blue shell and they're fixing to win,
not really, but you just don't want to look them in the eye.
You're afraid you're going to get beat up by this big, burly man afterwards playing Mario Kart. So they had Mario Kart. What else?
They had Time Crisis 4 up there.
Those are good games.
I didn't get going on that, but I saw people playing it. It seemed okay. It seemed like every other Time Crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Konami only had... I only saw one Konami game up there, and that's Pro Evolution Soccer. And it just... Why would you even have that there? The only interesting feature they had about it was you could plug in a PlayStation 2 controller.
Oh, really?
That little slot of PlayStation 2 controllers, but who's going to the arcade with a PS2 controller? they can just have the game at home. As far as I can tell, it's the same as the one you get on the PlayStation 2.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't know.
I couldn't see anything new about it.
What's even more is like when you play it a few times, you might as well just go out and buy the game.
Yes, really, Sega was the strong force there.
Well, that's good. Did you get to talk to any of the any Sega people out there or anything like that?
Unfortunately, I didn't really. They had that these little offices there, and they kept like walking in and out there. And they seemed pretty busy at the time.
Nothing.
I did get to chat to a few of the booth babes.
Oh yeah, how was that?
Yeah, I'm sure they dig me. Yeah,
I think so. You know, if you look and on the site. Graham's been posting all kinds of ATEI articles. So if you go on there, in some of the earlier ones, it does show him with some of the booth babes and the best booth babe of all, right? The very first one.
Oh,
you
yeah,
posted.
That's right.
Who was that
oh,
with?
Oh, yes. Sonic the Hedgehog.
That was pretty funny. Could you actually, could you have stolen him? It's like, it's probably like maybe like what, maybe 2 or 3 foot tall, like Sonic statue, right?
Yeah, it's about 3 foot, maybe 3.5.
Was it just like randomly just sat there and you just like kind of walked up to it and took a photo with it?
In front of the offices, they had these little tables and stuff where some of the like Sega representatives were actually like having little meetings with other people. And it was like right there, right next to them. So they might have like stared at me if I tried to pick it up.
Like, don't look at me while I'm doing this. Okay.
Yeah, I did actually have to sort of sneak on to like the area where I was because all cornered off and I should sneak on quickly get photos on and run off.
Oh, I see. Well, that was a pretty funny photo though. Okay, so ATI show Sega kicked ass this year, is that right?
Is that again?
No, I'm saying the Sega kicked ass this year, is that right?
Oh,
at the show.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You saw cut out when you said that, so I couldn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry, no.
Yeah, they were amazing. Like I've still got more games to actually post up about and for the website, so
okay. Okay, good. So we'll see some more. So, okay, make sure to check back and we'll see some more of the ATI show. Okay, moving on. We spent way too much time on that.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It was interesting. We actually interviewed Jeff Hassan, an executive producer at Sniper Studios, about Crazy Taxi Fare Wars for the PSP. And in the interview, Jeff actually spoke a little bit about how Sega's been working Sniper has been working with Sega and the original Crazy Taxi development team to work on the new Crazy Taxi game. Now, Graham, what do you think are some of the benefits of the new design team working with the original design team?
Well, obviously, having the old team on the board is going to make the game definitely like the originals.
Yeah, because that's also one thing
every fan
said
wants to have.
Like, yeah. That's actually one thing. What Jeff did say, he said that he wanted to keep the essence of the original game while updating it on the PSP. So yeah, I definitely think having the original design team on there, we'll be able to give them. I think we'll be able to keep the spirit, maybe if you want to call it that, of Crazy Taxi while bringing it to the PSP. And that's actually another thing I was talking to him about was that I think. Crazy Taxi, and I thought this a long time ago, as I think just it's a very arcadey game. You know, I mean, I don't think it's a game you're going to sit down and play for hours at a time by yourself. So I thought that game would have translated better to a handheld rather than a console game. And it's just now with the PSP that we're actually going to we can do that. And do you agree with that though? Do you think that Crazy Taxi and some games similar to it translate better and are better on a handheld rather than on a console?
I would. I totally agree with that, because when I play my handhelds, I don't really like to play long sessions on
right.
them. So
it's more of like, you know, it's just sitting around, either like, you're either like sitting down, like you know, on the subway, or, you know, while you're on the toilet or something, you're just sitting down playing it for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, And that's pretty much as the amount I can play Crazy Taxi in one sitting.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I can play that game for more than a half hour. But
do you know, has it got multiplayer on this one?
Yeah, it's supposed to have.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to have some multiplayer things. I don't have it all in front of me right now, but we'll see, you know, exactly what they plan on doing with it. Another thing they said that they want to update.
I think that's also another. Sorry, Zach, carry on.
No, I'm sorry. No, I thought you cut out. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's another great benefit for the PSP version, the fact that the problem with like playing on the Dreamcast and stuff is if you had multiplayer, you're going to have split screen, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
But with the PSP, when it's like download play, it's going to be a lot more
fun.
Oh,
that's true.
You can take it around to your mate's house or whatever.
Yeah, that's one thing I hate about playing multiplayer with a friend is having to do split screen. Because if you don't have a big enough TV, I mean, it's terrible. I remember playing like Unreal Tournament because it supports four-player multiplayer Unreal Tournament. And I had like a 32-inch TV. And so we had four people playing, you know, in four different squares on the TV. And the screen was like 8 inches, you know, and it was terrible. Yeah. So, I agree with that. I think, you know, being able to have a full screen and play with some friends in the same room will be pretty damn cool. So, and the last thing he said, though, that...
Especially, like, these days you're, like, used to online playing stuff.
Yeah, so hopefully it's going to have an infrastructure mode on it, too, so we'll be able to play online. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then the last thing he said, he kind of dashed our hopes and dreams. He said there's not going to be a Dreamcast VMU boot at the startup of the game. I was kind of hoping on that. But.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, what can you do? All right, looking ahead, Sega has a lot of good games coming out over the next year. And March seems like it's going to be a huge month for Sega, kind of like how February was with Virtua Fighter and Sonic and the Secret Rings. In March, Sega has Shining Force Exa on the PS2. That's coming out March 20th. They have Virtua Fighter 3 on the PS3, Xbox, and PSP. That's coming out March 20th also. And then the rest of the games in March are Armored Core 4, Afterburner Black Falcon, and Full Auto 2 Battle Lines. And then this summer, they're going to follow that up with Alien Syndrome and Crush. Now, that's a pretty stout, you know, lineup just for March, just for 1 month. What do you think of some of those games? You got Shining Force Exa, Virtua Tennis, Armor Core, and Afterburner, Full Auto, all in March. What do you think of that?
I'm not sure about their tactic of releasing them all in March. That could be a bit.
You think they should have spaced them out a little bit more?
Yeah, just a little bit. Maybe have a couple in March, and then because I think people are if they want to buy some Sega games, they're not going to be able to buy them all. Really,
right. The one thing though, one thing I can say about that though is at least they didn't release them all just on one specific console, because Shining Force Exa is PS2, which you know, and now Virtua Tennis 3 and Armored Core 4. Those are on PS3, Xbox, and the PSP. Virtua Tennis is. Armor Core is not.
Yeah.
On the PSP. And then you got Afterburner and Full Auto also on the PSP. So I don't know. That is interesting. I didn't think about that. All releasing them all in the same month. I know we'll have to see about that. We'll have to see if we'll have to look at the, the software charts. We'll have to look at the software charts and see, you know, how those came out. So we'll see.
That could bring you up a question. They're releasing so many games in March early in the year. Does that mean they're going to have lots more games coming later in the year?
That's true. Because
they've got a lot more lined up.
Yeah, I mean they have a couple of games lined up. I know The Club is one of the games that should be coming out soon. And they've been announcing all these other. Partnerships with all these other companies and stuff like, well, I mean, they got right now, Crazy Taxi Fair Wars isn't up on their schedule right now. So, you know, who knows what they got coming out, you know, and, you know, we'll see, maybe they got a couple of surprises in store for us too.
Well, they did actually announce that DS surprise was meant to come later in the year.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Did you read about that?
I saw a little bit about it.
I don't think anyone knows much about it. It's on the main site right now.
So. Okay, and so that was actually when they announced that they're going to be supporting the PSP, right? And then a few days later, they announced that they're not going to be given as much support for it. Is that right?
Yeah, they basically said they announced their love for the PSP, and then suddenly a few days later, they basically said, "Actually, we're going to be releasing more games for the DS now."
Hmm.
So.
I don't know. What do you think about that? Well, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I'm more of a DS fan than a PSP fan.
And I'm quite opposite, so.
Yeah.
The thing I like about it is because I think the DS, I like the ports of games. I like sequels on it. I like to play, you know, my Virtua Tennis and, you know, my Full Auto 2. I like to play those games on a handheld on the go. You can't do that with the DS. It's just not powerful enough. The DS is for original kind of quirky titles. What's that? No, what did you say?
I was just going to say that the DS really isn't powerful enough for a lot of modern games.
Yeah,
it's quite annoying.
I know. I mean, they can play it, but I mean, graphically, it's going to look terrible. But I'm not you know, dogging the DS too much. I love the DS. I think it can do some really great things. I think some of the games are extremely fun. But me personally, my taste, I would much rather play, you know, games that are kind of similar to their, you know, their console, I guess, brothers. And so
I think I get where you're coming at there. I think games like Crazy Taxi and Virtua Tennis would be really good for handhelds. But you also get like other games which the PSP has, which I don't think we're so suited to it.
That's true. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. I think Sega definitely has an interesting year coming up, but they have some really great games. I think this could be one of the biggest years for Sega, you know, in a long time, because you know they got the Sonic the Hedgehog debacle out of the way. They've been coming up with some good games. They got Virtua Fighter 5, Sonic and the Secret Rings, which have both met with some pretty good reviews. And then they have Shining Force, Virtua Tennis. Now they're publishing Armored Core, and they're coming out with some of their they're coming out with Afterburner Alien Syndrome. And that's one of the things I've also always kind of talked about Sega, is it seemed like they stopped focusing on some of their older IPs that they had, like Afterburner or Alien Syndrome. They just kind of went to the well too often on some of their games that they knew would make money, like Sonic the Hedgehog or Shining Force. So we'll see. Hopefully this trend continues of them bringing out older franchises back from the dead. We'll see. So
yeah.
And also looking ahead, we got that done with. I want to announce that we're also having a contest for our first Sega Nerdcast. Our contest, we're going to be giving away a copy of Sonic and the Secret Rings for the Nintendo Wii. All you have to do is post what you thought about this the Sega Nerdcast on the main site in the post for the Nerdcast, we'll randomly select one of the commenters and we'll ship that out to you right away.
Be honest.
Yeah, you know, if we suck, tell us we sucked.
Yeah. Tell us what we can do to improve as well.
Yeah, no, I know. This is our first one. We know, you know, hopefully, you know, it sucks so bad we can only go up from here. At least that's my thoughts. next week, I want to tell you a little bit about what we have next week. We're going to have our first interview next week on the Nerdcast. We're going to interview Captain S from PBC Productions. And you like Captain S, don't you, G?
Oh, I love it. I think it's great, personally.
What I like about Captain S, if you don't know, it's a kind of like a parody of Captain N. You know that, don't you? It was an old Saturday morning cartoon back in like the 80s, and it focused on Captain N. It was for Captain Nintendo, and it was this kid who he would get sucked into the video games, and he actually had to be in the video game playing the game and like shooting the characters and everything. And it was pretty damn funny. He had a lot of the Sega characters. But what Captain S does, he kind of parodies that in real life. And it's pretty funny. I really dig the kind of I think they recreated the Saturday morning cartoon vibe in there. And I really like that. So we're going to have him talking to us. It's Brett from Captain S. We're going to have him on. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about that. For the first Nerdcast, it was just me and Graham. But we're going to have, for each one after that, we're going to have a different staff member hosting the show with us. So it could either be Nathan, Warren, or Ryan. Who knows? We'll see. I think Nathan might be the guy with us next week. We'll also announce the winner of the contest, and we're going to announce our new contest for the following week after that. So that's it, man. How do you like it? Our very first Sega Nerdcast, very first one. Hopefully it didn't suck too bad. So, all right. Hopefully we'll have another good week of the Nerdcast, and we'll see you. All right. See you later.
See you later. Bye. Thank you.